Welcome to FinTech Mavericks, a live podcast recording, as you've just witnessed. And I'm so excited that you are here to be a part of the journey. We are closing out season one of this brand new podcast. And I'm your host, Nicole Casperson,
and my co-host. I am Drew Glover. And just a shout out to Nicole, but just to give you a little bit of a background here. Around 2 years ago, Nicole and I, we got to meet on multiple stages in green rooms at different conferences. And I kept saying that we see each other too much and are too close to the fintech world with a similar purpose that we need to find a way to do something together. And I pitched this crazy idea for a podcast. We didn't talk for like a year. And then I shot her a note. Ow. And I said, you know what? Not only do I think we need to do this, but I think I found an incredible partner to do it alongside with. So you see that big Brex logo back there, who's our incredible sponsor. But not only did they align with this vision of FinTech Mavericks, but they also backed us to make sure that we could create some incredible content and have some incredible interviews.
Yeah, and we've had interviews already on season one of some of the biggest names in fintech, and today is definitely no different. So yes, today's episode is special because we're recording live at the FinTech is Fem Leadership Summit, but also because we're joined by a guest who's redefining what fintech leadership looks like. So Elizabeth Gore is the co-founder and president of Hello Alice, a fintech company that provides access to capital, education, and community to more than 1.5 million small business owners. Under her leadership, Hello Alice has distributed over $50 million in grants and recently closed a Series C funding round that brought the company's valuation to $130 million. Elizabeth is a former UN executive, Dell's entrepreneur in residence, a world champion equestrian, and one of People Magazine's top 100 extraordinary women. Her work across tech, finance, and public service has shaped access for founders across the country. Elizabeth, welcome to FinTech Mavericks.
That should have just said, shit-kicking cowgirl turned entrepreneur. Does that work? Thank you.
Okay, so...
Hey, congrats, y'all, on your first year. How exciting.
Woo. You're a season finale.
I
know. Yeah. Just the shit-kicking girl from Texas.
Yeah, that's it.
I love
it.
That's simple.
If we start there, we can only go up.
It's only going up from here, correct. So let's get to the heartbeat of Hello Alice, which, you know, you've said before that Hello Alice isn't just a grant platform. It's really infrastructure for small business growth. Mm-hmm. What does that mean in practice?
So our number one objective is equitable access to capital. So all along, we focused on where are their capital gaps. We really focus on Main Street, so your coffee shop, your dry cleaner, your accountant. So we provide equitable grants, loans, credit, secured credit. But we then evolved and said, even more important than getting the capital is managing it. So we have a financial health score. Mm. It's a pre-underwriting tool that allows you to put in a certain amount of data, and it's free. And we will rank your financial health between 0 to 100. And then we work with you for 90 days to increase that score before you ever apply for capital. Mm. And then I will say the beating heart is our community. We accidentally created a community. You know, we really wanted to do access to capital, but small business owners really support each other. They want to be connected. So we have the largest digital Black-owned business center. We have a center for military spouses. We've got Bakers of Detroit. These are self-made communities that are just killer.
Oh, I love it. And as we mentioned, right, your community, in a sense, right, is like all of the small businesses that you've helped, which is 1.5 million, over that many. I mean, what are some of maybe their biggest challenges and opportunities you're seeing in today's very relaxed and environment?
I thought this was only 15 minutes. You know, whether we're in high times or low, access to capital is always going to be the biggest challenge, particularly for who we call the new majority, women, people of color, U.S. veterans, the disability community, generally because they lack credit history, maybe have lower FICO scores. So, you know, that early access in your first 24 months of a small business is generally based on your personal credit history. Mm-hmm. So that's tough. Now, let's say we get that capital right now. I tell you what, the uncertainty is, it's a goat rodeo right now. I mean, and that's not a good thing in case you're not, you're a Texas Raider, so you know what a goat rodeo is. But Uncertainty is really tough. Small business owners, you know, have about 3 months of cash in the bank, maybe. And so when you start looking at inflation, when you look at tariffs, when you look at the cost of goods sold going so high, it is very difficult to be an effective planner. So right now, folks are on our site just really trying to do the best to maintain cash, to lower debt, and really decide, you know, well, we're not going to use growth capital right now, but do we need bridge to pay for things that we weren't planning for? So even a little bit more difficult than COVID, I feel like COVID, we just, after we kind of figured things out, it was like bear down and wait. Mm-hmm. This is really high and low every single day. So it's tough right now.
Yeah. No.
I would assume that your community is also telling you what they need in real time. And I'm sure there's some seasons where they need help with loan options, other times where they need help with just like understanding the general market of what's going on. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how are you kind of, how are you gathering that information and pivoting the business in real time to make sure that that community gets what they need?
It's a great question. So unlike, you know, a large corporation who has its lobbyists and trade industries, you know, small business owners, they're generally time poor, they're running their shops. And so right now, I've never ran back and forth to DC like I am right now, and really just to distill information. And so right now, if we can get a baseline understanding of, okay, if tariffs are coming in at X, here's what you really gonna have to plan for. So we're trying to distill information as fast as we can. And it's interesting, we've kind of backed away from giving counsel based on that information because it's changing every day right now. So frankly, all we can do is distill and educate and then stick to the basics. Good financial hygiene right now is so important. Don't increase debt, maybe slow your growth just a little bit, and really find money where it already is. Your current customers, you know, if you got cash in the bank, can you lower spend on a few things while we are watching this settle out?
Yeah, and maybe I'd also love to just learn, what are they saying to each other in your community? I know that they're going back and forth.
How are you managing hell?
You know, it's interesting. The most inspiring time at Hello Wallace was during COVID. And it was, you know, we popped up mental health centers for business owners. I didn't think we'd ever do something like that. We popped up partnerships where if someone had to close because they couldn't do rent, but they could share a space over here. Small business owners will tell each other what they need before they'll tell us. Really interesting. So if we can be in the community, be in those conversations and listen, I think that's really important. I will say right now, anyone who's in a business that has supply chain, and it's not just the tariffs, it's also supplier diversity contracting. It is larger corporations holding their spending, because small and medium businesses are the heartbeat in short with supply chain. So those businesses are talking to each other a lot. They're also doing bulk buying together, which is kind of interesting. I'm a real fan right now of community banks, CDFIs, credit unions. I think they're distilling information and being helpful as well. But man, the chatter's a little nuts. There's a lot of really frustrated people. There's a lot of tequila being drank right now. So,
my drink of choice.
Yeah.
Some mezcal.
Me too.
Mezcal Negroni, maybe. Yeah. All right.
That's my favorite drink.
Oh my God.
Mezcal Negroni is my favorite drink.
Drinks because
all right, let's all pause.
Yeah. Can I come to the party?
No. Yes. Please come on over.
We're ready for the party. Okay. Yeah. After the show, I can't wait for the tequila shot I get after this event. Okay. So, you know, speaking of needing tequila shots, you've led...
I can't wait to whatever this is going to be.
Okay. I love it. We love drinking so much.
Speaking of getting wasted to survive running a business.
We're literally from Texas. This is so us. Okay. So you've led through a pandemic, economic whiplash, a series of bank failures. Remember those?
Yeah. SVB was our second largest investor. So.
Yay. Yeah. That was fun. It feels like forever ago and so close.
And yesterday, yeah.
At the same time. Yeah. Isn't that weird how those Black Swan events feel? Okay. And then, of course, a very public legal battle.
Yes.
Let's talk about the moment that Hello Alice became a target of the anti-DEI backlash. Mm-hmm. The ripple effects of that were very real. So how did that experience really teach you about resilience, leadership, and just staying grounded and pushing forward with Hello Alice, because I think for me, the thing that was so inspiring was you being willing to be honest about that mm-hmm. experience as much as you can in a legal mm-hmm. battle,
yeah, yeah.
But publicly facing it, mm-hmm. you know, and not a lot of people would do that. Most people would yeah. like try to bury that
yeah.
in
yeah.
fake optimism, but you yeah. just were so real. So
well, you are right about, it was like tequila, prayer, rest, tears, good friends. So we were sued. I'm very proud at Hello Alice. We've done almost now $60 million in small business grants that are philanthropic in nature, not all, but similar. Most of those are $5,000 to $10,000, and we're just incredibly proud of that. We do grants based on industry sometimes, based on gender, based on demographics, based on, I mean, you name it. One of our programs was for Black-owned commercial vehicle companies, a really fast-growing segment of the United States, really cool program. So we were sued for discrimination, reverse discrimination for that program. We did choose to fight. Mm-hmm. We felt like, one, what we were doing is perfectly legal, and we did win, by the way.
So yes.
It was legal. But two, as a private company, it is our job to be capitalists.
Absolutely.
And to put money in the most effective place where we can see growth. We make decisions with these grant programs on the most successful small business owners in this country. And we really stand behind that. Mm-hmm. And so we fund white male US veterans, we fund African American commercial vehicle companies, we fund military spouse companies. And it wasn't just an overnight, we're gonna fight this. It was a bit, it had to be a business decision. I have a business to run. This is a huge cost to us. Yeah. But we really decided at the end of the day, back to your question, our purpose is equitable access to capital. And the outcome of this case could have changed the law around your ability to apply for certain types of capital. So mm-hmm. we felt like that is actually the core mission of our business. At the time, we had 650,000 Black-owned businesses on the platform.
Wow.
So this is not an insignificant amount of people. And we felt like it was time to fight. What I did not expect is that it would become a kind of a press darling. I don't know what you want to call it. So, you know, taking the high road, staying effective, running a business, and it became a full-time job on top of full-time job. I'm so lucky to have an incredible leadership team, a great co-founder, a great board. And it went back to, it's interesting to live what you preach, because I was just saying earlier, you buckle down, making sure the fundamentals of your business
right.
are run correctly during a crisis, and that's what we had to do. Again, not without the tequila, the prayer, the tears, all the other stuff, but it was tough. And you know, hindsight now, everyone asks, should you have fought it, because it was millions of dollars? We definitely could have grown faster as a business. And it was absolutely, we did grow, actually.
Right.
Our revenue grew during it. Our small business owners, that's when we hit 1.5 million customers. So I stand behind both the business objective and the values objective. Oh, thank you.
No, I know.
That's right.
I know. How many amazing women on this stage can I have? Anyways.
I am in running a venture capital fund. I know firsthand that no decision that a CEO is making that's raised multiple rounds is making that decision by themselves. I'm curious if we can go back just to those couple weeks, those couple days, however long it took to say, I'm going to fight it, and just talk a little bit more about how you were able to bring the other folks on your board, the other folks within your on your team that had a say in that decision to get them to the yes.
Yeah, it's a really fair question. We were under a bit of a gag order at first, so we had to understand who we could talk to. And we did learn very quickly, anyone who actually invested in the company was in our ability to speak. So, you know, my co-founder and I huddled in first, and then we brought our board in, and our board was amazing. And we have, you know, QED, one of the largest fintech investors in the country.
Big fan. Awesome.
Yeah. And they love our mission, but they are focused on profitability, right?
Sure.
Then we have a civil rights icon on our board as well, Keith Schoetz, who is representing the NAACP on our board, because we have such a large African-American customer base, which was very strategic decision on our part. So there was a lot of tension around this decision. And, you know, we had people that absolutely did not want us to fight this, but not because they didn't believe in what we were doing. They were looking at it from a fiduciary responsibility. So, you know, millions of dollars could go into our direct growth or this lawsuit. So I don't in any way, shape, or form fault that. And Carol and I took their opinions very seriously as well. At the end of the day, it came down to Carol and I, though. Like, it was really our decision. And we listened to everybody. And everyone kind of made their point, but then said, what do you want to do? So we went back again, her and I really looked at everything, and it was very hard because we're both advocates. So I was with the UN, I was with the Peace Corps, I've been fighting my whole life. She's a Latina that was absolutely screwed over several times in her previous businesses. So your heart is like, go. Yeah. You gotta check in with your head when you're a CEO. And so, but at the end, everyone had our backs. Now, we did lose millions of dollars. I want to be really clear. So we 100%. Were in the middle of a Series C. We were 3 days from closing, and we lost. And we had to, in diligence, say this was disclose this. And about two-thirds ran for the hills. So we saw, and we lost SVB right before that.
Right.
So we lost a huge amount of capital overnight. And I mean in 3 days. And so MasterCard stuck with us. They actually led with QED round.
Shout out to MasterCard.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I will always say that. But you know, y'all know what's crazy?
What?
I am so glad they all ran away because we ended up really cutting costs. We had unfortunately cut workforce because of that, but we did not over-dilute ourselves. My employees have more equity now. We ended up not needing to spend that money. So, to the people who sued us, because we actually will probably make more money in the end.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
that was a really mature response.
No,
you
that
like
was
that?
Great. No, first of all, the courage, and also beyond that, what you were fighting for was so much larger than Hello Alice.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about some of the stats even you saw in that video. Like 75% of Americans don't have $500 in savings in case of an emergency.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
these folks that are building businesses and under. Yeah. represented communities. I mean, they need much more financial help, financial health, financial stability than a lot of other businesses. So thank you, seriously.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. I think, you know, something that is so important for me to point out from what you've done, right, is that you leaned in where there was troubling waters, if you will, right? Where it's so easy to run away, like I said earlier, and try to hide that. Mm-hmm. And I think that leans into that, you know, authentic leadership, right? And you weren't looking to be a media darling. Mm-hmm. You just were trying to make sure you were doing what was best for your company, but also the greater mission that you were after. Mm-hmm. And now you look at the returns you're seeing, right? Look at the business growth. You have talked about like a decision-making matrix before.
Yeah.
I guess, which, you know, you had to go back and forth with everyone and all of that good stuff, but like, what do you think was the ultimate thing that just helped you guide your team once you actually did make the decision, right? Because you had probably half of the people be like, oh no, why are we doing this? And then the other half like, okay, also still shaky. So was there any like thing in particular that just pushed that?
Yeah, well, one is for your listeners, you will have a crisis in your business at some point.
At some point.
100%. And it might be economic, financial, HR, a lawsuit. Whitney Wolf Heard at Bumble said, hey, you're getting sued, you're getting successful, you know. But, you know, making a decision matrix in that time, you know, budget and cost, P&L, it's got to be right there. What are your core values? Why did you start this business? What is your purpose? And then the third is, and this is where it's not sexy, can you actually handle the fight?
Yep.
Do you have the infrastructure? Do you have the physical health, the mental health? Do you have the capacity? Do you have the time? It's really tough. So those three things is kind of, when we were allowed to go out and talk to the team, you know, we really walked through, here's the three things that we really looked at. And this is why we're doing it. And so, and tried to be as, and there was a lot of fear, and I was mm-hmm. pretty transparent that we might have to lay folks off
mm-hmm.
and, to do this, with the, even with all the pro bono and everything we got. So, but I think sharing the framework of your decision, not just your decision,
right.
'Cause even if someone doesn't agree with it, at least they know how you got there.
Yes.
And I think that's important. If I may, one other thing that we learned the hard way. We at first were trying to be quiet about this
okay.
and fight, but not, we were really worried about distracting from our core business, but also that people wouldn't think we were a viable company.
Right.
Like we have people's yeah. credit, you know, mm-hmm. we have a credit card, secured credit, unsecured credit. We were wrong because the other side went out this big in the media and we didn't control our own message.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we, Relativity Ventures is here, big shout out to them, woman owned PR firm. So we went out then and started hitting it hard and controlling our message. Shoot. That was a we should have done that right off. You know, I was trying not to like poke the beast. And then actually my husband was like, they poked you. They poked the beast.
You didn't
like,
start this.
I was like, yeah. So, but I, you know, control your own message, control your own narrative is really critical. Now that doesn't mean go on a huge media campaign, but just make sure that you are first out of the gate, mm-hmm. whether it's positive or negative. So that's a lesson learned.
Yeah, no, I think that's so important, right? And obviously as someone obsessed with narratives and content, I often tell people, you know, if you're not going to control your own narrative, then yeah. someone else is going to write it for you. And then you're not going to have any say in what that looks like unless right. you're the one going out there and putting your voice out there. So I guess I would then ask, you know, with the increasing pressure on companies to soften or scale back their DEI efforts, mm-hmm. what's your message to fintech leaders out there that are navigating that tension? Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I know it's rough out there. We've yeah. seen conferences shut down.
Yeah.
You know, that were supposed yeah. to happen. It's rough waters. So
it is. You know, we are trying to talk and be as helpful as we can because we went through this kind of 2 or 3 years ago now. You know, mm-hmm. we unfortunately were like the tip of the spear. Not fun. A couple of things. Words are words, okay? We can do great work. You call it what you want to call it. So I hidden meaning or not in that, mm-hmm. you know, I think words can be weaponized and you have to pivot. You just have to pivot.
Right.
And so two, I love the companies that put diversity, equity, inclusion or new markets or the million other things we can call it into their P&L. And ironically, that is a very legal way to do this too. So if you're going out, okay. African-American women are the most entrepreneurial people by percentage in this country.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a venture capital fund, I'm going to seek these individuals out because I want the highest returns possible in a company.
Literally.
Right? So that is a business objective to me. And, you know, I liked that, you know, Jamie Dimon a couple of years ago put their commitment to loans to people of color in their P&L.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sales objective. So I hope we can think of this as this is the way to go after profitability. This is the way to ensure a strong economy. Now, going back to folks who are being targeted right now, you know, you do have to listen to the law. I want to be really clear. Laws have changed under executive orders, and you can't break the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I only say that because having gone through this, we went through our situation prior to the law changing. So it is very important. It is important to lawyer up and understand the legal route to do mm-hmm. things and then do them better.
Right.
So I'm also very optimistic really quickly about data. I love fintech. I love open banking. I think for a big part of our community that, again, maybe have lack of credit history or lower FICO score, I think modern growth fintechs like Chime and others are gonna catch up too, which I'm really excited about. So this is a little bit of a pivot, sorry.
No.
But like open banking, I'm so excited about it because I would love to approve someone's loan based on the cash they have in the bank, the receivables they have, they paid back on time.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think some of the societal issues that we've had that have blocked our community are going to keep evolving, which is awesome. So good news, bad news. It's a long answer to a very complicated question.
I do want to just talk a little bit more about underwriting, because I think that's a really fascinating place where historically the way people have underwritten home loans, student loans, all different types of loans, it's been designed around one or two or three different types of personas.
Right.
But really, we need to widen that in a pretty massive way to make it so it's fully inclusive. As you continue to get all this data and match that with AI to be able to structure it in really effective ways and creative ways to make it so that aperture widens, how are you utilizing data today to better underwrite the types of businesses that you're working with?
All right. We're so excited. We're like fanatical about this, right? I haven't seen my co-founder this energized in years. She's the technical one. So we created this business health score a couple of years ago, even before I would say the full modernization of things like ChatGPT and others, to instill data quickly and then spit it back at you on here's the financial health of your business. Now a small business owner can do that themselves. I mean, it's so exciting to get their books ready, to get everything ready. What I want though, but I think it's gonna be the fintechs that do it, big banks, they're such giant ships, right? And they're so regulated that I think it's gonna take a while for them to catch up to the use of AI and data. And that's where all of y'all come in the fintech space. Get in there. I think using AI, distilling data as fast as humanly possible and creating new underwriting models, they're gonna buy y'all because they can't build it fast enough or they're overregulated. And so that's why I'm a huge fan of the fintech industry. What we're doing at Hello Alice right now is we're very always open about our product builds. We're like the worst secret of people ever. But we are building AI agents to where once we tell you with our business health score, here are the 10 things you really need to do to improve your business planning. Usually a small business owner might outsource some of that and might have to hire an accountant over here. They might need to do this over here. These AI agents are going to do it for them immediately. And they're free, so we're free as a social enterprise, a free platform. So we're super fired up about that. And I think the historic fail rates are so high in the United States. A big part of that is just lack of services and access. And I think this is going to change that. We're super excited. So we're coming soon this fall. AI agents, get ready.
Love it.
All right, that might be the best use case I've heard for AI agents, because all I see are headlines and I'm like, what is this? But so thank you for actually giving it a proper use case. No, I love it. Okay, with just a few seconds to spare, are we ready for some rapid fire fun?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Tequila.
Mezcal. All right. Dream dinner guest.
I wish my grandma Opal was alive.
Aww.
I'd love to eat with her fried chicken again.
Oh, that's a good answer. Go-to coffee order.
Non-fat latte. Ooh. Kids temp. Big weenie.
Favorite Texas A&M tradition.
Ooh, Giga Mags. Probably, it's called Yale practice. It's the night before did you say Texas A&M, didn't you?
Yeah.
A Red Raider gets to ask me this. Yale practice the night before a football game.
We're friendly. Yeah. At Texas Tech, which is her rival university where I went, we throw tortillas on the football field.
Wait, I didn't even know that. How did
you didn't know that?
Oh my God, I'd run down there and eat them.
The security actually tries to take them away when you enter the auditorium. Hi, sports.
What inning is it?
This is an auditorium.
This is an auditorium. The football field place. And I lived in Texas and went to every Friday night light in my high school. Anyways, they try to take them away from you. So like kids would hide them in their cowboy boots.
That is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Cowboy boots way before they were cool.
I would not eat a tortilla that was in someone's shoe though. I will
pass
on that.
Correct.
You throw it
down. Yeah, I'd throw it back at you. Or
exactly. All right, what's always in your carry-on?
Always in my carry-on. Tequila, actually.
Really?
Did I say that?
Did I say that?
No. I always have because I hate shitty booze.
You can't do shitty booze.
I can't do shitty booze.
No.
So I always have a little tiny flask of tequila with me.
Well, I
might have it for a month, to be honest, but I have it if I need it.
Just in case of emergency. Breaking case of emergency. What kind of tequila is that?
Oh, I just can't. I love so many. Yeah.
Okay, can't
I also
one.
Have, because I'm just afraid of the apocalypse, I actually have a little metal picture of my family.
Oh, okay.
So it's on your person. Flask?
On your flask?
Dude!
That's a birthday present.
Product idea. Yeah.
Present.
New company.
Yep, that's a good present for you. All right, finish this sentence. FinTech is better when?
Everyone gets to use it.
Hmm, love that. And last but not least, one word that describes how you feel heading into this next chapter.
Relieved.
Relieved. We have a tequila shot waiting for you. Well,
that
somewhere,
came out quick.
Somewhere, what?
That came out quick. I know,
you're just like,
I didn't even know that's how I felt. That's funny.
That's a part of the rapid fire questions, yeah. I'm just figuring out.
Yeah.
People uncover things in the moment.
This too shall pass.
I know. Jesus, take the wheel. All right. Thank you so much,
Elizabeth,
for joining us. Yeah. This was fabulous. I don't think I've said tequila so many times in a podcast recording, but today we did that. So thank you all for being a part of the live audience.
Yay.
Let the mics hear you. All right.
Thank you.